Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and it's the Monday night before Thanksgiving, and we're so glad you tuned in tonight. We ran into a few technical difficulties, but we'll all show up eventually, and we're going to be just fine. Tonight, it's just Ron and I going to be leading off for you. So, you know, one of my favorite ministers, if not the best in the state of Texas, is my good brother, Ron Greer from McKinney, Texas. And Paul will be coming in pretty soon. I think we were just talking, and the Thayers are coming in from South Carolina or Georgia, and they're finishing a meeting they were in, and they're jumping back in here real quick. So we'll be ready to go. But here's the deal. Being that it's Thanksgiving, we wanted to be able to just talk about Thanksgiving tonight and the things we're thankful for and kind of talk about what God's word says about it. And we wanted to maybe have a little piece of raising your expectations. Many of you have texted me and talked to me during this week, and there's a lot going on in the world, but through everything, the Lord never stops working, and he has blessings for us. So we want to talk about that a little tonight. So, hey, TJ, why don't you bring Ron in? You all know Ron, our favorite guy, my brother from McKinney, Texas, and he's a pastor there. He's a counselor also with Man in the Mirror out of Florida, but he covers all over the United States, helping men to see who they are. And Ron is just one of the best brothers, Lord, you could ever meet. And so I'm so thankful that he's here with us on this program. And so, Ron, looks like it's you and me till they find out.
Hey, real quick.
Right.
I'll interrupt you guys. Yeah. Paul's with us with the phones.
We renamed the show tonight, like you just said. We are Salt and Pepper to season
pepper.
Thanksgiving. Here we are together. So,
hey, guys, this is Paul in Lompoc.
Hey,
Paul's here.
Paul. Yeah, I'm coming through. I've had it says that my network's unavailable, but I'm trying. I'm on the phone right now, so that's good. I didn't abandon
all right.
it.
Well, maybe they'll get it working while you're on the phone with us. That'll be great if that works.
Yeah, well, that's scary. You know, I took a shower and everything and combed my hair, and it's really disappointing.
Not even Saturday. That's great. Thanks. That's good. We used back in Texas. Remember, Paul, years ago? It's not even Saturday. I took a shower to be with you guys tonight. So.
Absolutely amazing, isn't it?
I
can't see you, but you sound like you look good.
Hey, Ron, I look beautiful. I look beautiful.
That's it.
All the time. All the time.
Hey, you know the scoop, Paul. We want to talk a little tonight about. I was going to throw out two questions and then just talk a little bit, and had some people send in some things, and I wanted to share a few words. And I know Ron would, and I bet you would too. So, hey, the simple questions were this: We thought, do you have a family tradition that you love about Thanksgiving? You know, and that might be one we wanted to open with. We knew Stephanie would. I figured that's a good one to pitch for the first one to Stephanie. And then another one is, what are we thankful for? What are you thankful for? So, I don't know, Ron. Should we kick it to Paul first? We can't see him yet, but he's coming.
Let's go to Paul.
Yeah, okay. Family traditions.
You got one you like. Plus, we'll go to Ron. We'll go to Ron, yeah.
Yeah, please. And I give a little time to think here, okay?
I don't have to think. I don't have one. Outside of dinner.
Yeah. isn't that the truth? Yeah. Actually, I do have one. I like to watch the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah.
But it's kind of dwindled down to just me. But I enjoy it, mostly. And You know, and then, of course, football. You got to watch some football on the I read today that's what the Pilgrims did after they ate. They watched football.
Absolutely.
It was a quick game. It's a quick game.
Yeah. Ron and I were going to ask you that somewhere in the Bible that you could find us in Greek or Hebrew somewhere, the word football. It's in there somewhere. Sure. It may be out of context.
I got to say, I'm a backslider because I don't watch sports at all. I've been told by my son I was genetically flawed.
You're funny.
Oh, gracious.
Ron, you got any family you can remember when your kids were little? Or we can go way back with us.
Most of our lives, Thanksgiving was a family time. Family get together. Our immediate family, well, before that, we'd have it at my wife's mother's house, or we'd have my parents' house when they lived in Tennessee. But then we kind of moved all over. So then it was when the kids first came, they're going to be at grandma's house in Milwaukee with for Thanksgiving, because my parents insisted on we being there Christmas, and then we'd switch over each year. Yeah. But it was mainly just getting together, having dinner, and just talking and talking and talking for hours. I can talk, but my in-laws, I'm telling you, man. I mean, hours and hours.
Great.
But TV might be on, but it didn't matter. No one's watching it.
Yeah.
Because you've got a small place that may have had 25, 30 people that is probably made for 5 or 6. And we'd be stuffed like sardines. Amen. But if it wasn't stuffed, then we thought something was wrong. It was just inner city, you live in smaller places, and people still gathered. Yeah. And as we got, we moved away and our kids grew, we just basically started the tradition at our home. We'd all get together Thanksgiving Day, get up in the morning. They weren't allowed to go play. The morning we get up, get everything done and ready for the family to come. Have a time of standing around, everybody sort of holding hands. You got to say what you're thankful for. And then, and then after that, we have a prayer and then we'd eat. And the rule was, Pastor Greer can't pray long enough for the food to get cold. So it was always a difficult task.
Yeah. How about the little kids? Yeah. The little kids, you remember, were they more anxious than others? A big
crowd. Oh, yeah. That's why you got to put the kids in between adults and hold their hands so they can't move. And they're trying to scratch and move. But they do have to be quiet, though.
Yeah, drumstick in the prayer, right?
Because otherwise, they'd be grabbing stuff, running around. So everybody had to hold the child's hand and another adult on the other side. And then later, it got older. It's just, they loved my wife's cooking and they loved their grandma's cooking. Mm-hmm. So they were raring and anxious to get to the table. Nothing more than that. We've never been, well, at least my wife and I and our sisters. And then a mom either. We've never been sports fans, so there was no watching, football. Now they would in the evening, toward the evening, they find some tear jerking women's movie to watch. But by that time, the guys moved out to another part of another part of the house. Oh,
how about you, Paul? Did you have something you did that?
Let me give you a little update. If you haven't heard from Steph and Tank, they were in a meeting with their pastor, and they said they'd be here as soon as they could. So they might be joining this pretty soon.
Are they in trouble? They got in trouble with the pastor?
Well, I think they were, I tried to do some reading today, a little bit of reading about the Pilgrim's first meal, and I found out that they woke up early and they milked the cows and fed the chickens, and then they had 3 egg omelets with sausage and fried potatoes. And then for lunch, they had a turducken. It was really cool, but they deep fried it in oil. That was fun. And they had some mashed potatoes, a lot of gravy. It was really good. And then after about 6 hours, they had French toast with sausage and fried potatoes again. And they ended the evening with fudge. And I thought, gee, this is right up Steph's alley, because this is healthy eating.
Tell Stephanie, the country was founded on fudge. Come on.
That's right. That's right.
I'm kind of thinking that was a revisionist thing. Is that right?
Oh, we'll go with it. We'll go with it. We'll go with
somebody
it.
Named Hershey, right? Yeah. Went ahead and put that in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, on a real, a little more serious note, I think Thanksgiving, I think it's especially difficult sometimes only because the situation of our world, and of course, when we put our eyes there, it's easy to get discouraged.
Yes.
But the most, if we realize our greatest thankfulness is directed towards the one who gave his life for us, yes, and made that sacrifice for us and opened up the door that we can have fellowship not only with him, but mm-hmm. with one another. Because yes. when we talk about families and talk about the extended family, like, you know, y'all to me have become part of my extended family. And I find that as the time goes on, it becomes more precious. And especially yes. as I get older, memories become more kind of lost the word, more precious as well. And to be thankful in the midst of everything that our eyes tell us, but we're instructed not to get caught up in what our eyes feel, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, though it really is a matter of faith, these have been some real difficult times and some personal challenges as well. And I always try to say to my children, you know, when they're going through tough times, my son is 50, my daughter's 42, and they have their own families. And when they're going through tough times, I always find a way to say to them, well, use your faith. And it seems to be easier. Maybe y'all can correct me. It's easier to say that sometimes than it is to do it yourself. Does that make sense?
Right. Right.
You know, faith, and these are days that we need to use our faith, you know, and put our trust in the one who really is in control. You know, he really is. And so that's kind of when I think about Thanksgiving, gosh, just the preciousness of being together. And we're going to start a new tradition this year. My cousin, I consider me a nephew. He gave me a whistling pickle for Christmas about 3 years ago, and it's a plastic pickle. And he says, I don't know why I thought of you, but I thought you needed this. And so I said, well, you know, you're right. I was looking for one yesterday, and so I'm gonna, unbeknownst to him, he'll be around the table this coming Thanksgiving, and our call to dinner table will be a whistling pickle. And I think that's a good way to start a new tradition. Does your pickle whistle? Of course. And then it's time to eat.
There you go.
And after that, I'll get kicked off the show. And I understand. So it's okay.
Oh, praise God.
No, that's good, Paul. It's good. Yeah, we got that inner strength. What do you think, Ron? How about you?
Well, I think you're right. It's right on target. I mean, if even if we look historically, I mean, why did they start the Thanksgiving celebration period? If you look, read the horrific winter and the struggles they endured, the number of people died. I mean, it was a miracle of God that they actually survived. And so just the very nature of the holiday was because people looked to God for And in gratitude
Amen. For him
for what he had done for them, and so I think that's a key, keeping the holiday in the right perspective. No matter what the circumstances look like in the world, nothing about God has changed. Nothing that's about right. His grace has changed. You know, and with us, even down individually, you know, okay, yeah, things are maybe horrible, but I am crucified in Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live now in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me and who loved me.
You know, amen.
God has made me a new creature, right?
Amen.
A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And God has made him who had no sin to become sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God. And praise God for his grace and for his mercy and for his peace. The grace that allows my sin to be covered, that allows my guilt to be taken away, the mercy of God that allows my misery to be disappeared because of what he's done, and the peace of God that I have is based on him and what he's done. So no matter what happens in the world, what the conditions are, I'm always looking to him and thankful for that.
That's right.
Nothing else in the world can interfere with that if I keep those things in my mind constantly. So Thanksgiving is one of those times where I can say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to look back over all the miserable happenings in my life, all the horrible things I've done, and all the hardship. And I look at the context in which I live now and I go, you're still God. I'm still yours. And I'm still going
to be that doesn't same change.
Nothing changes.
That's right. Good point. Right. Good point.
Thank you, Joe. You can pass the plate now. Thank you.
We should have a hand come through the audience. Yeah. Hey, well, we just have two special people made it. Good to see you guys, Steph and Tank, the Thayers, you know, and we kind of gave an intro for you. So we're just going to go. We asked two simple questions, and then I'm going to share something in a minute. We've all kind of shared a little, but they were easy questions. What were they? Easy. They were so easy. Do you have a tradition that you like with your family and kids? And what are you thankful for right now this year? And those were two we looked at. And you guys.
And it may be something immediate that you guys get called in on the carpet or something. You get whatever. No, I'm sorry. Pastor, call you in. We got to talk.
That's right.
No, sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that is why we're late. We were on.
I know.
And this is our excuse, but it's true. He was late to our meeting because he was stuck in the drive-thru for like 30 minutes. And we're like, what was your order? What was the problem? So we apologize, first of all.
He must have ordered 65 hamburgers, right?
He was a candy trying to get fudge.
Subway. That's my son. What did you order? So
trying to order nuts and the fudge.
Yeah, that's it. What do you think, Steph? You go first, or you Tank together and take it there? Well, yeah,
I can think of two traditions for Thanksgiving. So we all like to cook, and so it becomes like this whole family experience in the kitchen. And we make this. We pretty much only make it at Thanksgiving. It's this root vegetable recipe, and so I was like, different potatoes and squash and parsnips and turnips, which you don't know what they look like except for this time of year. An onion, and we all we're all taking off the skin, and we actually shake it up in a trash bag because it's so big, and then roast it. And so it's kind of a fun, it tastes delicious, but it's a fun whole family experience. So we have all of these, I can't even think of what they're called. We probably have like 10 of them because everybody wants one. So
the potato pillar, or the apple pillar.
Yes, and everybody has their preference of, you know, which, because we have different types. So that I thought of. And then our family is really competitive. So we like to play games. And my aunts bring some ridiculous word game that's in the newspaper. And they make copies of it and save every week, like for the year. And then we all sit around and try to beat each other. So that's a whole thing.
Now, you need to know one of them is an attorney and the other one's a paralegal. So they argue about definitions of words and accurate spellings, whether they're hyphenated or unhyphenated.
That's part of the experience, right?
It's for precedence, right? There you go.
I think one year it became a contact sport.
Yeah.
And smacked someone else. Yeah.
Where do we have to send to get our own official Tank shirt? That is cool.
It's in California. Yeah. Hey, it's a boat in the garage.
Our daughter sent that to me.
So someone.
That's cool. That's cool.
I know we didn't get the memo about collared shirts. You guys look so dapper tonight.
Yeah.
It was a special occasion, and the men were supposed to collared shirts. Let's go, Tank. You're from California.
I know. Horrible.
Yeah, no.
Paul's probably not visualized.
Yeah. Paul's hiding out tonight.
He's in his onesie pajamas.
Paul, are you wearing a t-shirt or a collar?
A t-shirt.
There you go.
I try to run with the big dogs.
Yeah, I figured the only excuse was the name Tank on the shirt, so.
That's really good.
I sure appreciate you guys. Listen, I wish I could see you.
Wish we could see you.
You'd enjoy it.
Maybe we get TJ to put your picture up. I put the picture balls, but I don't know if that worked.
So, for thankfulness, I I didn't hear what you guys said, so we're just going to hope that it's not a repeat.
You're really, original on the first one. Go ahead. That's good.
Okay, really, well, we are a unique family. thankful just for the little things. I think it's so easy for us to think about the big things. And, you know, a lot of life has been happening for most people, higher stress, you know, money doesn't go as far, all these different things. But just really the simple things in life and a daily reminder that there's no prayer request that is too small or insignificant for God. He cares about everything in our specifics. I actually shared this story this morning, but last week something happened where a friend that I've watched become closer and closer to God had really wanted a new Bible. She had a children's Bible. It's King James. She really struggles with it. She can't afford it. And I mean, literally this whole, just God's like, watch what I'm going to do. A Bible is given to her because it was ordered incorrectly and the bookstore said to keep it. And so this person just went up to her and said, would you like this Bible? She said, yes. And it's the Bible that we had been recommending to her. And not only that, she wanted a red letter Bible. It's a red letter Bible. It was leather bound. Just as she started to tell me this story, I just said, do you see how sweet God is? Do you see how much he loves you? Like how precious that is. And he gave you like exactly what you were asking for. And when our desire matches his will for us, there's nothing that he won't do, right? And she never would have bought a leather bound one because that would be out of her price range. Just these simple things. And so I actually want our family, we always talk around the table of what we're thankful for. But this year I got a bunch of rocks that I'm going to set out the day before that everybody can paint if they want to put a word on it of what they're thankful for and actually put them as a centerpiece and talk about it because I think it's important to recognize how simple and gracious God is. And it's really easy to take it for granted.
Fantastic. They'll never forget that. Like Ron was saying earlier, some of the traditions, those things will never go away. And we just got Dr. Paul Hall. Ta-da!
Yeah. We're a wild bunch today.
I know. I can tell you exactly what it was. There was a launch last night, and I failed to realize that they strapped me to the rocket.
Rocket man!
I was gone. I apologize for that.
No. Yeah. You got your back. That's good. Yeah.
Good to see you.
So they'll get the rocks. Did they keep the rocks or not? Hang on, Ron, you're up. Hang on, we're coming. Did they keep those rocks? If they color those rocks for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Yeah. I think I'm going to put some on the front porch. I was actually thinking of making an altar to the Lord of my own, of just gratitude and being able to look at them and reflect and shown up in my
life. The rocks.
I don't know. I'll report back.
That's great. Hey, Ron.
Now I feel insignificant and... we gotta do it, get anything significant. I gotta work on something now.
For next Thanksgiving. No, that's great.
Thanks, Steph. Thank you very much.
I heard somebody preaching about making an altar to the Lord, and I always thought it was weird. And then the sermon was really good. I'm like, you know what? That's true. Yeah. In all the Old Testament stories, there's
across the Jordan River. Yeah. Wow. That was the time I gave off little red rocks. They were red like the blood. And they were little red rocks, and I preached on crossing the Jordan River, and everybody in church with their bullets and got a red rock. And I said, all week, I want you to put that in your shoes, guys. I want you to wear that little rock in your shoes so you remember what this message was about. I don't know how many did it, but some of the wives called up laughing their heads off to my secretary and said, they're doing it. I said, I was only kidding, guys, that y'all come crippled walking into church. Anyway, that was interesting. I still got that little bag of rocks somewhere. That's a good idea, Stephanie. Yours is better because they're bigger. They do their own. That's much better. Yeah, I like that better.
I got to remember that. Maybe people remember a sermon, put a rocky issue. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the little red rock. They had to pile the rocks going across the Jordan. And everybody was part of it to remember it.
Nobody talked to people. You remember the sermon Sunday, the lesson Sunday? It was something about I gave four clear points. What were the points?
Yeah.
It's not hard.
One guy said, I don't remember the rock. I do know that I can't walk. That's good.
When I was pastoring in Carpinteria, I did a message about in the bucket. And I gave everybody a rock when they came in. They picked one up and they sat there holding these rocks. And I talked about how important it is when you give something to God to leave it with him. You know, I mean, don't take it back. Trust that he's going to do something. And so at the end of the service, I said, when you're ready to focus on something you need to give to the Lord, then come up in the front and put it in the bucket and go home, you know. And I had a dear friend who's in the presence of the Lord now. But when I would see him occasionally, I would say, how's your life? He said, it's in the bucket. It's in the bucket. And, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful thought. I had a whole bucket of rocks, you know, and I went down to the beach and threw them all in the ocean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there they are. So, you know.
That'll work. Yeah,
that was good.
Steph was at a youth camp, and they're all gathered in this outdoor auditorium, and they would write the sin that they want to get rid of on the rock and then run out to the lake that's there and throw it in.
Well, the message was about, you know, if your backpack's full of these rocks,
yeah, you're gonna
get anywhere. And so then they started calling out sin, and the kids responded, and they'd run down and they'd chuck them. It was actually really powerful. And I said, well, there weren't any for the adults. And so actually 2 days later, they did it for us too, because we were all like, hey, we're here working, but we also have our stuff, you know?
That's for the couples conference. They say, now don't throw it at each other. You throw it together, forget out the door. You're not at each other.
I know, Paul, you're lucky nobody threw any at you. You handed them rocks coming into the circle.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say they didn't throw them at me, you know.
He's just a quick ducker. You know.
I remember when Joe had a message when we were doing youth revivals in Texas back 50 years ago. One of his favorite messages was about David and Goliath and how David picked up, you know, 5 smooth stones. Hey, I can give you Joe's testimony verbatim, word by word, if you'd like. You know, we used to joke about that, you know, because Joe, it's fascinating. And in all seriousness, Joe should tell the story on one of our programs, because the way God worked in his life and how he sensed God's call to ministry, it really is it's a wonderful story. And Joe. Joe has been faithful to walk that walk, you know, as long, you know, since he called him, you know, and it was at Seven Falls in Hawaii. I mean, if you can't hear the Lord's voice in Hawaii, come on, you know, but it's a cool story. I hope Joe will share it sometime. You know,
Paul and I'm blessed with Paul. We did a lot of good things together, Ron. You got some, we did a lot of wonderful things. I'm thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful for knowing you guys now. I'm thankful for Paul for 50 years. My goodness, what he's been a blessing in my life. He's been my go-to guy in prayer. Now all of you are. You got drafted. You're on the team. We expanded. Paul and I pray. You pray for us too. That's great. But
by name.
Yeah, I got something I wanted to share too in about 5 minutes here or so. But is there something, Ron, anybody else wanted to share another thought to you? Maybe what are we thankful for? There's so much, you know. Maybe you got something you want to share.
Hey, Joe, can you hear me?
Yes. Who's that?
That's Will.
Oh, Will. Okay, yeah. Yeah, hi, Will. Yeah,
hi,
you.
Mary.
Yeah,
oh,
you
Will.
Go ahead, you guys. You got 5 minutes, and then I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'll go with my thing after you guys. Go ahead.
We're thankful that we got to know you guys and you know, share things with you on different shows, and it's been a blessing to both of us. And our tradition here is, I think, the same line as all of you. You know, we want to have family over, turkey, stuffing, you know, mashed potatoes, all the good stuff, just thankful for our family, you know, thankful for our health. Although I've been fighting the flu the past few days, thankful that, you know, our little granddaughter, approaching two years old in a few more months, and it's just been a wonderful time this past year.
Mm.
So, just wanted to share that with you guys, Marianne.
Oh, amen.
You know,
Ditto.
We're thankful for you guys, aren't we? This is Cintrons, Will and Marianne, Dr. Marianne Cintron, and they'll be with us again before you know it. I tell you, they're part of our family. And we thank God for you, for your testimony. And we thank Stephanie for finding you. Yes. It's our talent scout.
Yeah.
That was great.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for giving the word to us on. That's really great. I just felt really lit. I got to thinking about this, and Stephanie had said something, oh, I don't know, Steph, maybe 2 weeks ago. You got to talking about Shabbat, the Jewish Friday night, and you were sharing some of that. And Ron, you had some input on that. It got a hold of my heart. And then when everything I was thinking about it, I just wanted to use a couple of scriptures that have just hit me. And so if you got a Bible, and if you are watching, you got a Bible, I mean, we're not quite high tech enough where we put the verses up there for you. But if you take them with you, I'm sure it'd be an amen from all of us. And I'm sure all of us really appreciate this, these verses. You know, I think about Israel, every Friday they have Shabbat, where they bring the family together and they do what Ron was saying. They all come together. They literally stuff their homes. They don't have large homes. They stuff them with their family. And they sing and they share and they love one another. I got to thinking about it every Friday. Stephanie was explaining some of that too. And then I had my verses. I went to the Bible with my verses. Of course, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but all things. You know the scripture for time, but Colossians 3:17, I got to thinking about the power of God's word there. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Those have been verses that have been real instrumental. I know Paul and I used to use some of these. I'm sure we used to talk about these verses years ago. But then I got thinking about something I heard Chuck Colson say a long time ago. Chuck Colson, who started that great prison ministry. And he was speaking to a group, and he put it in his book, actually. And if you have it, if you could put that up for me, guys, maybe you could follow it. TJ, if you could put this up. He was speaking about Jonathan Edwards, the great pastor Jonathan Edwards, and what he said. And Jonathan Edwards said the following. He brought this out. It made me think of Thanksgiving. Jonathan Edwards calls the deeper primary form of thankfulness gracious gratitude. It gives thanks not for goods received, but for who God is, for his character, his goodness, his love, power, excellencies, regardless of favors received, and it's real evidence of the Holy Spirit working in a person's life. You know, Ron, you brought it up. Paul brought it up, the same thing, what this was about. And I got to thinking about that. You know, Thanksgiving, the way we do Thanksgiving for blessings received, and I got to thinking about that with my kids and my family and all, that's a secondary purpose, a secondary purpose of Thanksgiving, or actually a secondary response from us. But the primary response, like the brothers just said a minute ago, is the primary response is to God who gives them to us. That's where the primary response is to be. And Jonathan Edwards said it, and Colson brought that out so clear. And I went to Psalm 138. It just went boing, because if you're thankful for everything and you realize God is in everything, all that has been brought into your life, all that is present working in my life and your life right now, God sees it. And if you put God in context, he allowed it or he put it there and he's working through it. God is enough, like Ron was saying. He's enough in our lives. So Psalm 138, if you've got your Bible, this just really blows me away. The Bible says, I give you thanks, O Lord. This is really something. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For your love exalted above all things, your name and your word. I called, you answered me. My strength and my soul was increased. He was lifted up. And you talk about a bad position to be in. I think about what's going on in Israel, around the world. I do all these things. I watch the news and I find myself praying while I'm still watching it. I think about these things. Well, David, this all happening. You guys remember Psalms. David's in hot water right here. David's beloved son, Absalom, is turning on him. He's run for his life. He's run for his life out of Jerusalem. He's running for all that he can do to get away. And what's happened to him? when you stop and you think about it right there. Swindoll is another guy I like to remember things that he said. I sketched down. Swindoll said, before God can greatly use a man, he has to crush him. Ron counsels men this way. I've heard things Ron has said, and I know Ron reaches in and says, get yourself out of the way. God's got to be, like he said tonight, primary. He has to crush him. So what happens to him right there? He says, I come to you with my whole heart. He says, and you're there when I call for you. He says, I will praise you in front of everybody. I'm not ashamed to stand up and praise, like Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel in Romans. I will do that. You know, sometimes I'm really maybe not that good. Sometimes maybe I'm afraid of what somebody's going to say. Now, the older I get, I really don't give a flip. That's a good cuss word, huh, Paul? We'd say that. I don't really give a flip. If somebody doesn't like it, I still love you and the Lord, but you know what? You're missing it. You're out of step. I'm just going to pray for you. Find the path before you fall off another cliff. And when I look at all this right there, Swindoll made it really clear. So he has the Lord's protecting hand on him. He says, God's got me in this, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Gratitude is a choice. Thanksgiving is a choice. We make it. Ron said it. Paul alluded to it. Both of you have shared. It's a choice. You choose to get blown away by this world, or like Ron says, you remember who God really is. Can we do that all the time? Maybe you can. Sometimes I struggle with it because I see enough apcrae all around me. You guys said, no, I was bilingual, but when I was in high school, I took Pig Latin. But in any event, when you look at all of this, I have trouble sometimes. I have to say, okay, well, you got to show me again. And he always does, like he says in the third verse of the 138th Psalm. So what does it do? There's two things, and I'm done here. He's got a hand. I always see God, the hand of God, the metamorphosis, the anthropomorphism we used to say. Remember, guys, studying it in school? We always would see that. I see the hand of God in so many things. And when I see the hand of God, the protecting hand like he was for David, I'm drawing back quickly to Isaiah 43. Just turn to your right in your Bible and go about a half or an inch or so. And right there in Isaiah 43, the Bible tells us in verse 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why? Oh, for I am the Lord your God. Once again, just what Ron and Paul were saying. And sometimes that water may get all the way up to the tip of my nose, but he's still going to see me through it. He's also the not only the protecting hand, he's the perfecting. Boy, does he waste that hand on me a lot. Perfect, perfect, perfect. A lot of work to do. You all know Romans 8:28. Go to it and read it. And remember, if you love God, you're called according to his purpose. All things are going to work together for your good. And it's not just a verse we memorize. It's a fact we can live by, that we can be in it. So when I think about Thanksgiving, the final thought I've got in my mind is simply this. I think about Thanksgiving. I think about what you've all said. I think about what you mean to me. I think about Paul all these years in our life. I think all of you right now, as Paul said, we love you guys. I just love this group. And I realize for America, Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. For the Jews, it's every Friday. It's Shabbat. But for the Christian, it's every single day, just like Ron said. I walk with him and I trust him, and the power of God will lift me up. And like he says here, I walk through the midst of trouble. In the seventh verse, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. I'm ready to give him thanks every day. I'm done. You got to not let me get wound up. I love to preach, but that's where it is. And Ron clicked it off. He started it on go for me, right on the button, Ron. I just love you guys. Somebody else. How do we be thankful? What are we thankful for?
Well, I've been told that I have a close relationship with death, and being a trauma surgeon, that's part of it, but it's also just having lost family, people you love. And that said, I mean, I'm blessed every day that I get to walk through an ICU and people fighting for their lives and understand how close we are to moving ahead. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that I had a mother who got pregnant, moved to California, had me, gave me up for adoption, and two great people that raised me. and gave me all the opportunity. I'm thankful that 51 Christians came over on the Mayflower and began America, and that I've been born in America and not Uganda or Honduras or some third world country where I don't have all these benefits. So that's what I'm, and I'm thankful for you guys. I mean, God's so purposeful, you know, that we found each other and been able to do this for each other and for whoever's listening.
Amen. 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 That's a good word, Tank, and it brings to mind. That's sort of been the season of death, with what I call it. Just explained to someone yesterday. So I've got this message from a friend, Facebook friend, I don't really know her, but she was just so amazed and touched by what I posted. And mainly is my sister sent me some forms from the VA. Somebody's doing some research for her, trying to get some benefits from my mom, and something she or my dad never pursued because he's a veteran. And in all the years, he died at 86. And all the years of knowing him, I never, ever knew that my dad had 2 bronze stars in Korea. He had been involved in 2 campaigns. I just found out at 68 that he was actually injured. And he's always had a nub on his one finger. The top's gone from the knuckle up. He just never told. He said it was an accident, and just found out last week it was shot off. And he had never, ever, ever shared that with us. I know he has a discoloration on his back from a flamethrower leaking, he said. And now we're trying to find out if that was part of the combat he was in, shot and leaked out or what. But he never, ever talked about it. So it's one of those things you and it brought a lot of sadness to mind at first, right? And at the same time, the thankfulness for a father who, the longer we go along, even after he's dead, the more I find out the kind of character he had that I didn't realize until I was older. So it's those kind of things that God brings back to mind, and you're thankful for that. The other thing is, he died, I think December. About four years ago almost, but he died after my older brother died, my dad died, the brother under me died, and I have a baby brother died. Have my 2 nieces died, and 2 of the uncles I grew up with all died also, within 6 months of each other, and my wife's best friend and my mother-in-law who lived with us. Now all those deaths in less than 4 years. And it's so there's this sort of grief process they kind of talk you through. You listen with one person close who dies, but then after a while, it kind of piles on. You go, okay, wait, and yeah, and people that their question is, well, how do you deal with that? And I deal with that because what it's done is, yes, there's some sadness there, but I know this can sound weird, right? But the fact that all those folk of different ages, the niece was 41, the other niece was 36, from 36 all the way to 86, it brings about this consciousness of God's grace and mercy. It actually makes you more thankful. And it's had a great impact on my perspective on things as well, where it's like, okay, there are certain things that they're not important at all. And they weren't important at first, and now they're even less important. Like, as you said, you're bought face to face with, instead of being academically in your head, knowing the brevity of life, God says, okay, let me make that really, 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 really personal for you. So all of a sudden you got a family of 9 that's now a family of 4. And God goes, okay, this life is, this, nothing is guaranteed. Nobody gets out of it. And you live on my time. I decided from before you were born. So spend your time focusing on that which is important, that which is significant, and forget about the rest of the garbage. So yeah, thankful for even that sort of tragedy and grief that's involved.
You've been through a season.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I found this great quote I'd like to share with you before we run out of time. I don't know who said it, but here's the quote. If I pray regularly, irregular things happen on a regular basis.
That's good.
That's good.
Right, yeah. That one.
Yeah. 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 That one. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I had one the other day on a podcast. It was that asked me how I manage my life with family, surgery, all that. And I said, well, there's things I'm in control of. And then when I'm on call, I have no control. So I control the uncontrollable.
Yeah,
don't schedule the uncontrollable when I need to be somewhere else.
It's Mark Batterson that said it, because I just found the quote.
Oh, thank you.
Who said Mark Batterson? Okay.
Mark Batterson. I do love him. He's fantastic.
Aren't you around Washington, D.C.? Yep, that's right.
I'm going to post it on Facebook, and it'll look original for me, though.
Oh, you got tons of them. I'm going to tell you a good one sometime, Paul, especially the one in Seymour, Indiana.
Yes. Great days.
It's actually in Draw the Circle, too.
Yeah. Save that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, we are looking, time went by too quick, but I wish we had a couple hours. I'm just praying, you know, God knows what he's doing. If we can get to the place where we could go to 2 hours, I know we'll figure something and just be able to round robin with people. And that's what people say all the time. They love to hear all of us just share together and interact. And we'll thank the Syntrons again, too. It's great to have them top in with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Steph, you want to give a 60-second commercial?
Sure. If you go to the internet and you put in bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you can find out all there is to know about us, about the show, about listening live, listening to recordings. There's a book by Pastor Joe, a book by Craig on there, all kinds of goodies. So tons and tons of content. We try to mix it up and have a variety. And so really listen to those. We love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Joe, give feedback, ask questions, make recommendations to us. We always love that. And then there's Pastor Joe's book. And there's Craig's book. Teaches the best, isn't he? He does all the technical stuff. And then at the very top, if you would like, you can make a donation. We have Venmo, we have PayPal. If you're not sure how to do that, you want to do an old fashioned check, whatever, you can reach out to Pastor Joe, and that information is at the top. We really appreciate your generosity. It does take money to run a show, so we appreciate even just a little bit. If that's forgoing a coffee or a meal and deciding to donate it to the program, we are thankful for that.
Forever thankful. So much. Thanks so much, Stephanie. You do such a good job. You do a good job too, Tank. Just wanted to let you know when you cover for her.
That's
good.
Well, she's pretty good.
The 201.
Yeah, you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. And we all want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and do what we've all shared. Hug on your kids, love on your wife and your family, and just tell them you love them and tell them God loves them too. And just remember, like Dank said, you can control some things, but God's in control of all those things. It's great to know we're in the grip of his grace. So live in the grip of his grace each morning, look in his face, and you remember who he is so you can remember whose we get to be. That'll sell. That's good. Just made that up. But anyway, I like that. That's a good thing. We can go from there. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Ron, happy Thanksgiving, brother. You and all the family. Steph, Tank, God bless you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all the family. Paul, sure glad you made it. Wouldn't seem right not seeing your face. Now I feel
Thanks
better.
Thanks for holding on.
That's perfect.
God bless you all. Have a great time. Let's remember each other. Remember Lily Tomlin said, she said, we're all in this together by ourselves. And I'm glad that's not true for us, okay? Exactly. We've got one another, okay?
And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
All right. God bless you all. See you guys.
Bless you guys. Bye. God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.